This is Hans Scheil from the Finishing Well podcast. On Finishing Well, we help you make godly choices about Medicare, long-term care, and your money. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
Yes, it is the black guy and the white guy. We are back again talking about a hot subject, Roy, and I know this subject has hit the airwaves, it's wide on the internet, and it's concerning critical race theory and social justice. And this, again, these are hot button topics, and so we want to talk about, from a high level, what these two topics regarding CRT and social justice, where the roots of these things are from, how are they defined by individuals who hold to the concepts and or movements that embrace these concepts.
Will, I'm glad you're walking us through this tonight, and it's going to be a great opportunity for us to chime back and forth on our childhood, the way we grew up, and just basically where we're at today. And interesting from a Christian perspective, what your take is going to be and what my take is going to be on this.
Exactly. And you know, again, we have seen in the Christian community, churches in particular, where this type of thinking has basically encroached into the congregation and into the leadership of churches. It has divided churches. Churches have split over it. And I think without having a full understanding of what it is, because Roy, as I was preparing for this, I got a lot of understanding. So I understand more how an individual who embraces these concepts think, but I don't agree with it. So let me say that up front. I understand how they think in reference to these subjects, but I don't agree with them.
My challenge here in that this whole topic and subject matter, like many things that we've seen today, Will, people are making decisions without critically thinking through them. It has nothing to do with the critical race theory or the critical justice or what, but not critically thinking through them. Does this make sense? Is this logical? And this is one of those prime examples. People have not fully, I guess, educated themselves, so we'll say they're somewhat ignorant to what the background is behind all of this, and also what the true meaning of it is. Would that be a fair statement?
It would be, because a lot of times, if something sounds good or we agree with it, that doesn't necessarily mean because we agree with it or it sounds good that it's good for you spiritually. And so we know that a lot of where this type of thinking has originated from, now we've come to this point to ask ourselves the question, you know, if I embrace some of this type of thinking, do I put myself in position to now say that I am walking in this movement, or do I reject it all, you know, and say I'm not going down this road, period. So let's begin, Roy, by stating what critical race theory and social justice is. And so critical race theory, and again, I will be referring to some writings from the key writing that formed the movement of critical race theory, and individuals who wrote and formed this movement, Kimberly Crenshaw, Neil Golnanda, Gary Peller, and Kendall Thomas. And so they have a book out that's published in 1996 where they talk about critical race theory. Now, so when I give this definition, this is not my definition.
Good point, Will. Yeah. And we'll be sure to remind the folks after you state the definition, mm-hmm. too, so in case someone's tuned in.
Exactly. We want to make sure that this is the thinking of individuals who have written on the particular subject. And they say CRT is a theoretical and interpretive mode that examines the appearance of race and racism across dominant cultural modes of expression. CRT scholars attempt to understand how victims of racism are affected by cultural perceptions of race and how they are able to represent themselves to counter prejudice. Now, when I look through it and read all of that, it sounds very academic and scholarly. But when you really get in there and break it down, I think it goes back, Roy, to what we talked about before, that it's based on an individual's thinking. And what happens is if a person have a direct encounter with someone of the opposite race, immediately the first thought could be, not necessarily that it is, but it could be that they indicate that the person's actions toward them are actions of aggression and oppression. So, and again, this is the premise of critical race theory and social justice. One side says that here you have an individual or individuals who are the oppressor, and then on the other side, you have individuals who are oppressed. Now, we know, Roy, from history, that historically speaking, that has happened in the past. Happened with the Israelites. It happened with the Asians coming to America to working on the railroad, things like this. So it happens to a wider group of people. And so we know that it has existed in history. The problem is when we make every single incident that we come in contact with a person of the opposite race, when we make it a racist issue.
And when you say every single incident, you're talking about any interaction, any conflict, any disagreement.
Absolutely.
Any type of confrontation.
Absolutely.
Whether it be about the color or not, but it becomes about the color.
Absolutely.
The race.
In the end. Mm-hmm. In the end. So you're talking about an issue. For example, okay, you are driving to a city. Let's just pick one. Atlanta. Just pick one. And so we park in an area and we're going to run into a store, or we're going to run into a business and buy some ice cream or get a sandwich. And we're only there for a few minutes. So we put our flashers on. And when we come back, a parking attendant is writing us a ticket. The parking attendant doesn't look like us. So now it's, why are you giving me a ticket if you see that my flashers are on and I'm just going to run into the store right now and I'm coming back out? I wasn't in there. And typically they say, I wasn't in there but 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah. Well, how the parking attendant know how long you've been in there? They don't know. So, but you're parked in a no stopping zone. And so now all of a sudden it's like, well, why are you giving me the ticket?
There's no stopping zone, same as no parking zone?
That's the same. You can't stop, you can't park.
Okay, I got you. Just clarifying.
So now you argue back and forth, and eventually, if you argue back and forth long enough, Roy, what I'm saying is eventually it's going to come down to race.
Yeah, so the comment's going to come out.
Exactly.
You know, this is because I'm a white man, or this is because I'm a black man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is really sad.
It is.
It really is. So, Will, we know this is problematic. And what's interesting is that, you know, we always talk about top-down concept, right? Outside of this program, we'll talk about that from churches and what's important to the pastor and what's important to the leadership. And the same holds true for companies. It becomes important to the people. So we don't hear a reconciliation message. We don't hear a get-along message. We don't hear a love message coming from the top down. In terms of that, I mean, in terms of government, society, it's just, everybody's constantly trying to manage exceptions. You ever notice that?
Exactly.
And I think this plays right into that, because if they can keep the pot stirred, then we never have to worry about unity.
And I think this is why you're always going to have that remnant of people who attempt to hold on to a particular way that keeps this issue in a very traumatic state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that said, I think for the born again believer, this is why we can't allow ourselves to be pulled back in, because I can imagine the enemy in the spiritual realm just looking and saying, I know what your hot button topic is, so now I'm going to start feeding you thoughts that you're going to consider. And all of a sudden now we allow ourselves to be looped into that thinking,
distracted from the mission at hand,
and we're finding ourselves making comments, saying things that will get us in trouble, you know. And of course, we can talk about here recently the John Gruden, you know, that particular incident that happened over a 7-year period of time. Because I heard comments from people, players. I heard comments from radio hosts and things like that. And they made the statement, you know, had that been a one-off, maybe people would not have looked at it the way that they're looking at it now.
Well, from what I understand, it went wider and deeper than just one person, than him. And granted, you know, that should have been addressed way back when. But whenever it started, when it was first known to the organization, when he's back in Washington, I suppose, someone should have dealt with it then. You know, and that's when you sit down and you have the heart-to-hearts. The easy thing is to fire somebody, right? I mean, that's the easy part, right? Get rid of them. Well, just like they did with him. His career is basically finished as it relates to sports, anything related, because of his positioning and his incorrect and improper and sinful approach to things, right? So, and that's where I think we miss it in leadership often, is that sometimes early on in my career I learned it's harder to save a person than it is to get rid of them. It's not an easy thing to fire someone, but it's much harder to save that person if it's in performance or whatever. Same holds true within our walk. We've got to be merciful. We've got to show grace, but the person receiving the grace has got to be willing to receive it and willing to receive it first, and also turn from the ways of doing things. And to your point about we can't get dragged into it, Will, you're so right. In my mind's eye, it goes back to scripture about being lukewarm. If you start getting drugged back across the fence in the middle of these conversations, you're basically tempting God by getting lukewarm in your positioning with your faith, right? Because now all of a sudden you start to bring your faith into the world instead of bring the world back into your faith. And that's what you and I were talking about pre-show, is really problematic.
Exactly. And I think that's that point that you made was actually something that we heard from Dr. Tony Evans, you know, saying basically the same thing, that we're allowing ourselves to be put in position so that the enemy can use us in a sense that is not godly.
TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Affordable Chiropractic in High Point. As you might tell from their name, Affordable Chiropractic, even for the cash patient. Dr. Jeff Fricke has been caring for patients in High Point for 34 years. Physical therapy such as ultrasound and spinal decompression for disc conditions such as herniation. Comprehensive care for auto accident injury patients with no out-of-pocket expense. Remember, Affordable Chiropractic on West Lexington Avenue in High Point. Call 336-885-1987.
All right, now we're back.
We are back. Thanks to our producer, right. Keith. We love those middle music. Thank you so much. Yeah, Will. One of the things right before we went to break was talking about that mediocrity and that lukewarmness. And folks, I think that if we look across the scope and the spectrum of our society today, and even across the world, there are still folks that are living and working hard towards being true followers of Christ. But in this time of modern technology and social media, we've gotten to the point where we don't critically think and evaluate statements, positions, narratives, if you will, around a particular topic or even the news. We've gotten to that point where we're so dependent on what we see and hear in terms of thinking it's true or accurate or that it makes sense, or we just jump on the bandwagon. So, folks, what we want to challenge you to do today is to stop that process. When you hear something and intuitively it doesn't sound right, then encourage you to go and research it. And, Will, that you're really good about this, going and looking things up. And that is so imperative and so important to what your walk is every day. You need to critically think, not critical race theory, that kind of thing, but you need to critically think about what you're hearing and process it. You know, two and two, if someone tells you two and two makes five, intuitively and by training, you know that's not the case. So the same holds true when you hear statements in the media, when you hear a narrative off of social media, a Facebook post, all those things. Please, we're encouraging you to challenge yourself to get to the root and the bottom of it. And with that, one of the things that Will and I have as part of research for this show and next week's show was listening to Vody Baucham. And I know some of you have heard, most of you may have heard of him. Great pastor. I think he's serving in, is it Africa now,
mm-hmm.
Will? But he's from the U.S., mm-hmm. just a great guy. But it's funny to hear his perspective on many things. One was even the police force. He said, you know, like any occupation, there are a few bad people and everything. But he said over there, where he in his particular region where he lives, there you get stopped for potentially a traffic issue, but it's going to cost you money to get out of it, no matter in the moment. Crookedness, if you will, within the department or within this. He said, so Americans don't realize how good they have it with their police force. So, but the point being, one of the things with this critical race theory is just a great guy, got some great insight into life. But with this critical race theory and this critical social justice component, he mentions a letter, rather, I guess, an editorial that was written, maybe even today's term, op-ed, but by a Peggy McIntosh back in 1989. The title of this article is White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack. And interestingly, Vody points out, and this is about a three-page easy read, so you can pull this up on the internet and take a look at it. But he comments and I guess refers to that so much of this critical race theory narrative, along with critical social justice narrative, is based around this lady's paper. And what's funny about this, and he brings this out, is that when, you know, with anything that's written and published, typically if there's research done, then they're required to footnote it and say, hey, my source was, you know, Will Hardy publication dated 1972. Will's an old man, by the way. Dated 1972 during graduate school, yada, yada, yada. But in this particular instance, there's not one footnote of any research. So what that tells you is that this is all an opinion, and an opinion that she has drawn as a white woman back when she wrote this in 1989. And what has happened is people have picked up on this and have started to drive many, many discussions, many, many publications around this one editorial. Fair statement, Will?
Yeah, and it even goes beyond that, Roy. I mean, there are some things that were written in the late 70s, early 80s.
Still not documented.
Exactly, around the same subject. Some are and some are not. But again, as you stated, we have to be careful in what we read and how we process it.
Exactly. And this being a prime example and the other articles that Will has just mentioned as well, folks, when you think about reading a textbook, you generally accept that that material has been vetted. It's somewhat accurate. That's not the case today with the publications, you know, basically catering to, serving special interests, no matter what the special interest is. You can't necessarily depend that that's facts or that that's totally accurate. Back to the critical thinking. You need to research and confirm. Trust but confirm but verify. Trust but verify. Trust if you want to read it and say, okay, good subject matter. Let me verify what it is. In these cases, your litmus test is what, Will? When you see this type of dialogue and this type of narrative, where do we send them? Through the biblical lens.
Perspective, that's
perspective,
right. And that's how we look at them. We look at them through the lens of the Bible. And not only this, but everything that you listen or you read or someone states to you needs to go through the filter of the Word of God.
Yeah, the biblical lens is what you need to be looking through.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stack everything that you hear up against that, everything that you believe up against that. And folks, we've talked about this before, and we just mentioned it earlier, is that you as a follower of Christ need to be bringing the world to you, not you going into the world or taking your church into the world. It's in terms of changing your church to fit the world, changing yourself to fit the world. You should stand on your standards, which is the Bible. Excuse me, Will. And not be distracted with Satan's tools and all these different narratives. And this is a great opportunity to lead others to the Lord, because when you sit down and you say, let's talk about biblical justice, and does this justice movement stack up against biblical justice, as Vody Balcom says? If it doesn't, then there's the first litmus test. Now, about the social justice piece, Will, which is, you know, you hear social justice, most of us think of justice as truly an act of true justice. Well, and what Vody has indicated, and this is not his words, this is by definition of, I think it was a New England or an English dictionary, an actual UK dictionary, if mm-hmm, I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But one of the things he was talking about was justice is social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunity, et cetera. And that's basically a distribution justice. So at the core, when you get into that type of definition, so that makes you think, and basically a state redistribution concept. And it's not a hard issue, but a state issue. So, and that goes back to what we were talking about before the show, right? Is potential reconciliation and all those things, and reparation, and that people may feel like they have a need for. And that's part of what I guess this social justice is that, hey, because I've been held down, or because white privilege, or because white privilege had more, me as a white man had better opportunities. And my ancestors or my ancestors' ancestors, you know, my grandfather's grandfather did something wrong to someone or was a slave owner, that there should be some reparation for that, right? Is that kind of what we're leaning towards here?
Right. And we, the thing is, with that said, Roy, is what we're saying here is that when a person's conversation always results ultimately to say, because someone is disagreeing with them, that it ultimately reverts back to racism or race.
And the history.
Yes. And the history behind that. And see, we're not saying that some of these things didn't exist, because they did exist in history.
Sadly so.
But from biblical and a Christian perspective, we cannot continue to allow these things to dominate our thinking, because when they do, we're setting aside the biblical task of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because we're so engulfed in attempt to deal with the social issues, which they are, again, important, but that should not be the priority. The priority should be the message of Jesus Christ and bringing people to Jesus through the gospel message.
Right, and we're supposed, the greatest commandment, what? We're supposed to love God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and then second to that is love your neighbor, right?
And when you do these two, Jesus said, you fulfill all the other eight.
Yes.
So, you know, we, again, because we understand how to love other people, we should not let what other people say about us start affecting the way we think, because what happens is that take us out of character. And when it take you out of character, now you're beginning to respond outside the biblical lens. Mm-hmm. You're no longer looking to that, because now you see that red eye of anger of what this person said or what they done to you. And now, again, you're operating according to the world.
That's right. And that out of character can be also translated as distracted. Because your goal should be to grow the kingdom, continue to serve God, take up your cross daily. But when you get into world issues and world concerns, you're what? You're distracted.
Now, what are some of those things that they mention there in the article, Roy?
Well, it's this article, just to give you some ideas, this lady has put 26 of her thoughts. First, I can I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. This is as her privilege as she's referring to. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area which I can afford and which I want to live. I can be pretty sure that my neighbors in such a location will be neutral or pleasant to me. I can go shopping alone most of the time pretty well, assured that I will not be followed or harassed. I can turn on the television, number 5, or open to the front page of the paper and see people of my race widely represented. When I am told about our national heritage or about civilization, I am shown that people of my color made it what it is. So I knew this was going to happen. We're going to run out of time. So we got about a minute. So I'm going to give you one more, and then we're going to lead back into this next week, folks. So be sure and turn back into next week. Number 7, I can be sure that my children will be given curricular materials that testify to the existence of their race. So this was written, 1989, so what's that, 32 years ago, I guess. And so granted, a lot has changed in 32 years, but people are basing all this narrative on this type of information and this type of paper. So when we return next week, we're going to continue this discussion. And folks, again, all we're saying is don't get pulled into the racist conversations, because you're living in the past. Let's love each other. Let's correct what we can do that we've impacted somebody negatively. If you've done something wrong to somebody of a different color, you need to apologize for it and ask for forgiveness for it. That's what you can control. You can't control one thing about what happened 100 years ago, and Wills, you talked about 300 years ago, but you can control in the moment. And you need to be looking forward and ask yourself, how am I going to change this in my world and the people around me?
And biblically, that's it. How am I going to change it biblically? Which means we got to get into the Word of God. Join us next week. We'll be back. Thank you for joining.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network.
Say, what would you do if you were a new Christian and you didn't have a Bible? It's Michael Woolworth, by the way, from Bible League International, and you'd probably say, well, I'd hop in my car, I'd go to a Christian bookstore, or I'd have one shipped to me. What if those weren't options? You'd say, well, I'm new to the faith. I need to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. You know, you would pray that someone, anyone, would bring you a Bible. And that's exactly the way it is for literally millions of Christians around the world. They're part of our spiritual family. They're new to the faith. They want to know what it means to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. But God has them planted where it's very difficult to access a Bible. And that's why the Truth Network and Bible League have teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 Bible-less believers around the globe. Our campaign is called The World Needs the Word. $5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, every gift matched. Make your most generous gift by calling 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give at truthnetwork.com.